This month, Delaware became the first state in the country to ban child marriages. That's any marriage involving people under 18 years old, more common than you might think in this country. Joining us now is Frady Reese, who is executive director of Unchained at Last. That's a campaign to end forced and child marriage in the U.S. Frady, why are there so many states that still allow child marriage? Why is that?
Why is that? Good question. I've been mulling that over myself. For a long time, I thought it was just legislators didn't know. These are, for the most part, archaic laws. And I thought once I bring this to the attention of legislators, they'll give me a hug and a high five and immediately pass legislation to end child marriage. And unfortunately, what I've discovered is that ignorance was not the only problem, because even after we at Unchained at Last have worked to bring this to the attention of legislators across the United States, many have said no thank you to ending this human rights abuse that destroys girls' lives.
Well, last year it was reported that former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie declined to sign a bill that would have made New Jersey the first to outlaw underage marriage, child marriage. What happened there?
That's right. So we thought last year that New Jersey was going to be our first victory. I worked personally for 2 years to get that bill through with strong bipartisan support. Nobody objected to this bill. It was a really popular bill. Governor Christie claimed that the reason he did this was that ending child marriage would somehow interfere with religious customs in the state. But I publicly challenged Governor Christie to name a single religion that requires child marriage, and he still has not responded. And in fact, religious leaders from many different faiths came out in support of the bill to end child marriage in New Jersey and in other states. I had no idea what Christie was thinking other than there was some other reason that he did it. And in fact, he later admitted that the reason that he did it was because he was lobbied by an anti-choice group that was concerned that ending child marriage would somehow increase abortion rates, which is absurd. There's no study that has ever shown that.
You say these laws are archaic. How many child marriages are there in the country right now?
For a long time, nobody knew the full extent of America's child marriage problem, but we at Unchained at Last recently undertook this groundbreaking research project. We retrieved marriage license data from across the U.S. What we discovered is 12 states, unfortunately, don't even track the data. But in the other 38 U.S. states in just the decade 2000 to 2010, more than 167,000 children as young as 12 were married. Almost all of them were girls married to adult men.
And how much of that is about religion, or would the husband, I guess, in many cases say, this is about my religion?
The data that we retrieved from across the U.S. did not include identifying information about the children who were married for the most part. So we don't know from the data why they were married or whether they were from specific religions. We know from the women and girls who reach out to us that this is happening in every major religion, in minor religions, and in secular backgrounds.
Even in states that do officially set the age of marriage at 16 or higher, judges are generally allowed to overrule the limit and let a child marriage go forward. Tell us about loopholes and how important these loopholes are.
Usually in those cases where a judge's approval is required, that goes along with parental consent, which unfortunately we know is often parental coercion. But what typically happens is the child, it's usually a girl, almost all the children who marry in the U.S. are girls, that girl who's being married off is effectively disempowered throughout this process because it's a judge and her parents who are making these decisions for her. So unfortunately, in many states, legislators assume that if a judge is involved in the process, that that's somehow protecting children and preventing forced child marriages, where in fact what we know from the many survivors that we've worked with is that of the countless survivors we've worked with who went in front of a judge and went through a judicial review process before being forced to marry, not a single one of them ever felt safe enough to tell the judge what was actually happening. Every single one lied to the judge and then forever felt somehow complicit in her own forced marriage, which means rape on her wedding night, rape repeatedly thereafter, pulled out of high school, her hopes and dreams for the future gone.
Now, your work is deeply personal. In 2011, you wrote an op-ed about religious divorce laws and getting coerced into marrying at 19 years old. You come from an ultra-Orthodox Jewish community. Explain to us how you escaped that marriage.
Yeah, so I'm not a child marriage survivor, but I am a forced marriage survivor. We know that a forced marriage can happen at any age. I was 19, and then in the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community where I was raised, getting out was nearly impossible because I did not have the legal right to divorce my husband under religious law. Only he could divorce me. And when I finally escaped with my two daughters out of this abusive marriage, My family shunned me. They punished me for leaving by declaring me dead. So the way I managed to escape, by the way, was by getting my education. I became the first person in my family to go to college. But after I got out, managed to rebuild my life.
Have you made any contact with your family ever since you founded this organization?
I have had almost no contact with my family, with a couple of exceptions, but they still consider me dead. It's been 13 years now.
That's Freddie Reese, who is executive director of Unchained at Last. We'll link you to more about their work at hereandnow.org. Freddie, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having this important discussion.